Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Kuf Yud Ches, the last daf in Maseches Baba Kama. We left off on daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are at the two dots toward the bottom of the page on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So the Gemara is discussing the Braisa that we had just quoted to start off the Gemara. Part of the Braisa had said that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, by Yasos Lochin Mehen, Mibarios Ein Lochin Mehen, that we were discussing what you can buy from certain people without having to assume that it might be stolen, without having to worry that it might be stolen, and what you can't buy without worrying that it might be stolen. So the Braisa had said that you're allowed to buy certain animals from a shepherd, and you don't have to worry that he stole the animals. Then the Braisa had said that the Dalet Vehetzon, Dalet Vehegizin, but lo shteitzon lo shteigizin, that you can buy a large amount of animals because you assume that the shepherd wouldn't risk stealing a large amount of animals because there's no way the owner is not going to notice four or five animals missing from his flock. But two, yeah, that he might not notice, so that he might be stealing. And then Rabbi Yehuda said, if you have domesticated animals, you're allowed to buy that from the shepherd because you could assume that he wouldn't risk stealing it because the balabais is for sure going to catch him. But midbarios, undomesticated animals, he doesn't have as close a count on, and therefore there's a lesser risk for the shepherd to steal it, so therefore you have to worry that it might be stolen. So that's the comment of Rabbi Yehuda. The Shaila is, says the Gemara, Ibayilahu, Rabbi Yehuda, Areshakai, Ulchumra, Udilma, Sefakai, Lukula. Which line, which previous line is Rabbi Yehuda going on? Is he going on the Resha and therefore teaching me a Chumra, or is he going on the Sefa and therefore teaching me a Kula? What does that mean? Aresha kayu luchumra damar lochin man arba v'chamish etzon, that in the Mishnah it said you're allowed to buy four or five, the Braisa rather earlier it said you're allowed to buy four or five sheep from the shepherd because you could assume that he would never steal that amount of sheep because he was for sure going to be caught. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes and qualifies that hanimili bayasos, that's only if they're the domesticated sheep, the ones that are around the house. Avol midbarios, but the ones that are out in the midbar somewhere, afilu arba v'chamisha lo, you're not even allowed to buy four or five, meaning even that larger amount is still something that you have to be choshesh, might be stolen. And that's in which case Rabbi Yehuda is teaching me a chumra, that it's not just this all-out heter that you're always allowed to buy four or five. If it's midbarios, you're not allowed to buy four or five. Oh, Dilmore, maybe no. Our seifa kai, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is going on the seifa. Ula kula, and really he's teaching me a kula. Da amar, ava lo shtei tzon v'lo shtei gizin, that the seifa had said you're not allowed to buy two of the animals, hanimili midbarios. And Rabbi Yehuda comes and tells me that which you're not allowed to buy two is only if they're midbarios. Aval bayasos shtayim nami lochin. But if they're bayasos, you're even allowed to buy two because those animals that are bayasos, that are domesticated, that are around the house, we can assume that the owner is very sensitive to them and he'd notice when they're missing. So as such, you don't have to worry that the shepherd has stolen it. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is telling me the bikula, that this heter to this iser to buy two is not all across the board. The iser to buy two is only by midbarios, not by the bayasos. So which is it? Is Rabbi Yehuda telling me a chumra or is Rabbi Yehuda telling me a kula? So says Gemara Tashma, we have a raya from a brisa. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer lochin bayasos mehen ve'in lochin mehen midbarios. You can buy the domesticated ones, but not the undomesticated ones. Ubekol makom lochin men arba v'chamish etzon. But wherever you are, you can buy four or five tzon. Now mida amar bekol makom, from the fact that he says any place you could buy four or five tzon. So it sounds like shramina seifa kayu lukula. It sounds like that when Rabbi Yehuda says this chilik between the bayasos and the midbarios, that he's going on the shteit tzon. He's going on the case that the Bryce had said that you're allowed to buy shteit tzon. So I'm sorry, that you're not allowed to buy shteit tzon rather. And Rabbi Yehuda qualified that when it's bayasos, you are allowed to buy shteit. So Rabbi Yehuda is going lekula, because when it says four or five, he says bekal makom, that applies everywhere. You're always allowed to buy four or five because that the owner is always going to notice. The isser of buying two is what's limited. The isser of buying two is only to midbarios, but by yasos there's no isser of buying two. Fine, says Gemara Vayter. Rav Zavin Shabishta Me'arisa. Rav bought vines from an aris, from a sharecropper. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav, Vatnan V'lo Mishomer Peros Eitzim Peros. You're not allowed to buy from people whose job it is to watch over fruits. You're not allowed to buy the wood and the fruits from them because you have to be choshesh that maybe it's stolen. So how are you allowed to buy the vines from the sharecropper? Isn't a sharecropper a glorified shomer? So Amalei said, no, not at all. He's not at all a glorified shomer. It's a totally different job. When is there an issur to buy something from the guy when he's a shomer who doesn't have any chelek in the land? He doesn't own any of this. So the only way he has fruits, or very likely one of the only ways he would have fruits, is if he stole it. So that's a guy you're not allowed to steal from. Aval aris to isle begavei. But an aris who has some chelik in the land, so you can certainly say he's selling his own stuff. So it's not a problem because he's a part owner of the land, the aris. That's the way sharecropping worked. So therefore, it's not a problem at all to buy peiros from the aris. People who are shomrei peros, who are watchmen of the fruit, you are allowed to buy from them if they are sitting and selling with their baskets in front of them, v'tzotani lefneihem, and the scales in front of them, meaning if they set up a store and it looks like a legitimate store, it's not off the back of a truck. They set up a store. So in that case, you're allowed to buy from them because then you could assume things are legitimate, that they just started a business on the side, which is a legitimate business. V'kulon sha'amru hatmein asir. But any time someone that's selling you something says, quick, run, hide this, or, you know, don't tell anybody, or something like that, that's always cause for suspicion, and you should assume that it might be stolen. Lochin mehen mipesach hagina. I mean, you have to be smart about these things. If the guy is selling from the front door of the Gina, so probably it's not stolen, because he wouldn't risk selling from the front door of the Gina if it was stolen property. The owner's going to come by, and he'll see, and he'll be in big trouble. But if he says, here, let me take you into the back, I have a spot. So if he's taking you into the back, it means that it's something that's it's backroom business that for whatever reason doesn't belong in the front room. And that's a problem. So you have to be, and again, I think the Rishonim point out, none of these rules are you know, definitive rules. They're all etzatova, meaning that, not etzatova, but it's hakolofi amakom lofi azman. Meaning, if you have to, there's one rule to summarize this whole amud is use your brain. Right, that when you have a concern that something might be stolen, you're not supposed to buy stolen goods. Itmar. Gazlan me'emas mutzal liknos emenu. At what point can you buy from a gazlan? Meaning, how bad of a gazlan does he have to be for you to say, you know, I can't even buy from him. I can't buy anything from him because maybe all of his stuff is stolen. So what percentage of his possessions have to be stolen for you to refrain from buying anything from him? So Rav Amar Achte Rov Mishalo. So Rav says, you need to be confident that most of his possessions are his own. Even if he steals a little bit, most are his own, and then you can go bust with the Rov, and you can buy from him. Shmuel Amar Afilu Miut Shalo. Shmuel says, nah, you don't even need the Rov. Even if he has some things that are legitimately his, he has some legitimate business in his life, even though most of his businesses are not legitimate businesses, you're still allowed to buy from him. The Yamshel Shlomo writes over here that we must be talking about a case where it can't be talking about a case, he says, rather, that you know for sure that most of the stuff is stolen. If you know for sure that most of the stuff is stolen, he says, then you have to go basarupa. We have to, you always go our holchrach, our rov. So the rove is that it's mostly stolen. It can't possibly be that you're allowed to buy from a guy when you think most of his stuff is stolen. But the Taz disagrees with the Amshel Shlomo. The Taz says, no, if we're following normal halachas of rove, so the halacha is kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. And over here, this is kavua. So I don't kid me. That's exactly Shmuel's point. Shmuel's point is that we don't have to worry about rove versus miut, because it's simply kavua, it's kemechzal mechzadami. And therefore, you're allowed to assume that it's not stolen. You're allowed to assume that what's in his possession belongs to him, and therefore you don't have to assume it's stolen. Rav Yehuda la'ada daila, kedivrei ha'omer afilu miut shalo. Rav Yehuda paskind for ada daila. Daila was, Rashi says, shamash to Rabbanan, someone who is a shamash for the rabbis. So Rav Yehuda paskin for him that like those who paskin not a filu miut shalo, that even if he owns parts of his possessions, even if he owns a small percentage of the stuff that's in his possession, still you're allowed to buy from him. Meaning he paskins like Shmuel, right? Straightforward. Paskins like Shmuel. Is it a surprise that he paskins like Shmuel? Hilchos like Shmuel Bedini. It's not a surprise at all that one would paskin like Shmuel, that even if it's a miut shalo, you're allowed to buy from him. The interesting part of this sugya is the shitas of Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Gineva, Perek Vav, writes that if most of the stuff is stolen, you shouldn't buy from the guy, which is a backwards way of saying of the way our Gemara says it. The Gemara says afilu miut shalo. Our Gemara had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, right? Rav said you need rove mishalo, and Shmuel said even miut mishalo. So how's the Rav paskening if he's saying if most is stolen, don't buy from the guy? He's passing like Rav, right? Because Shmuel says even if it's only miut shalo, that's good enough. Now, one problem with the Rambam is that he's not really paskening like Rav exactly, because the phrasing is important. Rav says you can't buy from him unless it's rov mishalo, meaning 51%. The Rambam says it's only a problem to buy from him if, meaning, again, Rav says you need 51% to be his. The Rambam says it's only a problem if most is not his. So you need 51% to not be his to refrain from buying from him, and the difference between the Rambam's formulation and Rav's formulation is what if it's exactly 50%. So that's going to be a minor problem with the Rambam's formulation, even if he does want to paskin like Rav. The other problem that they raise with the Shita Sa Rambam is obviously one problem that you have, Magen Mishnah writes that, isn't this a halacha of dini? Isn't this a halacha of dini mamanis? Right, so and don't we normally pass an ilchsuk shmuel bedini? So the Magen Mishnah says no, there's ilchsuk rav bisurei. Over here we're talking about the isra v'heter. It's not really dine mamonis because it's not you stealing from anybody. It's the isra of buying stolen goods. You're paying for everything. It's not an issue of whether you're taking someone else's money or not taking someone else's money. So this might be categorized as isra v'heter, maybe. So that's why you would say perhaps ilchsuk rav bisurei. The other problem with the Rambam is that the Rambam writes in the fifth parak of Hilchas Gezela, that even though even if a miut of the possessions are his, you're allowed to be kona from him. Meaning, essentially, the Rambam passing is like Shmuel in Hilchas Gezela. So that's what the Achronim point out, that the Rambam distinguishes between Geneva versus Gezela. That when it comes to a Ganav, right, if the person is suspected of being a Ganav, then you would need Rove to be his. If the person's a Gazlan, then even if it's Miut Shalo, that would be good enough. A distinction between a Ganav and a Gazlan. Says the Gemara Vayter, Mamun Masur. What about the money of a Masur? Of someone who does Mesira. So Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Chadam Mutal Avdo Biyad. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Machlokas. One of them says, you can physically, actively destroy the mammon of a masur. And the other one says, no, you're not allowed to do that. That can't be legal to go physically, actively destroy the mammon of a masur. What's the machlokas about? The one that says you're allowed to says, why should his mammon be any more severe than his guf? You're allowed to kill him, so why shouldn't you be allowed to be ma'abed the mammon biyad? Right, and the one who says that it's us to be ma'abid is because he may have children who become tzaddikim or tzaddikim, and maybe the Rasha will prepare for the tzaddik, meaning whatever money he gets, he's going to pass on to his children. His children who are tzaddikim are going to get it. But if you're ma'abid, that money, biyad, you're going to cost those tzaddikim children their money. So there happens to be machlokas, Rabbi Matam in the Rush, when it says that Dilma Havale Zara Ma'aliya. Right, so let's say he's an old man and he doesn't have any children. So do you have to worry Dilma Havilei Zara Ma'aliyah? So they don't actually talk about that case, but they debate whether the word Zara is Dafka or Lav Dafka. You know, we're talking about that we're afraid he's going to have children. It's Dafka, his children we think might be tzaddikim. Or no, maybe it's not that his children are going to be tzaddikim. It's that anyone who yarshins him, maybe his brother's a tzaddik, maybe his father, whoever will yarshin him, every Jew who's not a ger has yorshim. They have someone to yarshin them. So that's what it means that he's going to have Zara Ma'aliyah. He's going to have, that we're afraid he's going to have someone to yarshin him. The real nafkamina they point out, the case that they argue about, is the case of a mumar. The assumption is that a mumar, it's batuach that he's not going to have Zara Ma'aliyah. because he lives amongst the guy, and he marries a guy, he lives amongst the guy. So there's no way that he's going to have Zara Ma'aliyah. It's not Shaykh that he's going to have Zara Ma'aliyah. So if you deal with a Mumar, so do we say that we don't have to worry about Zara Ma'aliyah, and therefore you're allowed to be Ma'abid et Biyad? You're allowed to destroy his money or his possessions? Or do we say no, that it's not about Zara, it's about relatives who can yarshin him, and that he still might have, and therefore you're not allowed to be ma'abid his money. So that's one issue. Another issue is a discussion of the kal v'chomer here. The kal v'chomer is tzarich in a little bit, because the fact that you're allowed to kill him is to stop him from doing mesira. It's to protect other people. By being ma'abid his money, you're probably not protecting anybody. So that's a bit of a difficulty in the kal v'chomer. What kind of kal v'chomer is that? That if I'm allowed to kill him, then for sure I'm allowed to take his money. No, you're allowed to kill him because there's a practical benefit to it. So Avnei Nezer discusses, and Avnei Nezer says, you have to say that you look at the result. If I'm allowed to do something as severe as killing him, regardless of why, then for sure something less severe like destroying his money. But it's a difficult question, because it's not just an irrational thing that you're allowed to kill him. There has to be a direct goal in mind. The Shach points out, based on this, that you see a raya against the Rush. We had a machlokas earlier when we learned about this heter to kill the Musr, right? So we had a machlokas. Does that mean directly you can literally take a gun and shoot him in the head, or only al yidei grama? So the Rush held you're only allowed to kill him al yidei grama. So says the Shach, this gemara is a raya against the Rush. Because what kind of kal v'chomer do you have? If you're only allowed to kill him al yidei grama, how can we say, and therefore kal v'chomer, you're allowed to be ma'abid the mamun biyad? When you're being ma'abid the mamun, you're doing it directly, you're doing it straight, you're not doing it al yidei grama. So what kind of kal v'chomer is that? So the Shach says, you see, you don't, this gemara seems to be a raya against the Shitas HaRash. One more ha'ara, also from the Biuri Hadaf, he quotes over here from Tos Yantif, Mesechus Nedarim. Tos Yantif and Mesechus Nedarim writes that it's very interesting that we refer to the Moser as a Musser. He says it's unusual. Musser means someone who was given over. But we're talking about the guy who gives others over to the non-Jews who are after our possessions. So why do we refer to him as a Musser? So Tos Yantif in Nedarim, he digs up Tos Yantif in Nedarim, says that Musser, he's called a Musser because the assumption is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine retribution will be that someone who's Moser as Chavero, ultimately himself will be Moser b'yad of the Kachavim. That ultimately he's going to suffer the same fate. He thinks he's going to make friends with the Goyim by mastering everybody else. Ultimately he's going to be Moser too. And therefore that's why he's called a Moser. He says that's also the pshat why we call when someone has Kiddushin, right? So who does the Maisa Kiddushin? The man does the Maisa Kiddushin on the woman, right? It's not a double Maisa. It's not the woman doesn't do a Maisa. She's just Makabel, the Kiddushin from the man. So what do we call her? Narusa. Fine, that makes sense. She is Narusa. What do we call him? An Arus. Arus? What do you mean? He didn't have Arusin done to him. He did Arusin. He should be called the Ma'ares. Right? So why do we call him an Arus? So he says very similar idea, although a little more positive. He says that there's one should not look at it as if he's only imposing chiyuvim on her and making or causing her to change her status and the way she thinks and the way she lives her life. It also affects him. It also has, so something is happening to him. Although he does the maisa, it changes who he is and changes the way he relates to her and the way he relates to the world, because now he's connected to this woman. So that's good Shavuot Brachos Torah if you ever need one. It's called an Arus. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. Where am I? Yeah, says Tudat. Rav Chista Havalei Ahu Arisa. This different kind of Arus now. Now we're not talking about Arus, we're talking about an Arus. We're talking about a sharecropper. Rav Chista Havalei Ahu Arisa. Rav Chista had a sharecropper, Davit Takal V'yav Takal V'shakil, who's very careful with the weights, with measuring everything precisely, that everything, if it's 20%, it's exact, it's not 21%, it's not 19%, he's very precise. Salke, so Rav Chista fired him. So it's a little bit strange. Why would you fire the guy if it sounds like he's doing his job? And Kara Nafshei, and he said about himself, that Tzafon Tzadik Chel Chotei, that it's hidden away for the Tzadik, the assets of the Chotei, meaning this guy's a Chotei, and I'm going to end up benefiting from what he's doing, or I'm going to end up, or he's going to take away from what I should get. Whatever it is, I'm worried about this guy because he's a Chotei. Why is he worried about this guy? He's a Chotei. He's so careful. So he said, no, he saw a Mida in him. He saw that the guy was never a Mevater. If you see, if someone is not mevater anything, if a person never gives in, accuser, so then it's likely that he's also skimming a little bit for himself. Then it's likely that if it comes to a suffix, he's going to take a little extra for himself, if a person is never mevater anything. So he saw that that was his midah, and he was worried about that. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, darshaning a pasuk, kima tikvas chanef ki yivtsa ki yeshal kan nafsho. Right, that's a pasuk. Rav Huna Rav Chista chadam nafsho denigzal v'chadam nafsho shel gazlan. Who are we talking about? Whose nefesh is being taken away? Is it the nefesh of the nigzal, the one who's been stolen from? And when you steal from a guy, it's like you're taking away his nefesh. Or is it the nefesh of the gazlan, because by stealing, he takes away his own nefesh? Remind you, I'm nafsho shel nigzal duchsiv kein orchos kol b'tzei betza es nefesh ba'alav yikach. You have taken away the nefesh of the Bailim. So that makes sense that it's the nigzal. Mandiyam nafsho shel gazlan d'chsev, al tigzal dol, don't steal from a poor man, ki dalhu, v'al titrani b'shar, ki Hashem yariv rivam, God is going to stand up for them and fight for them, v'kaves koveim, nefesh. And he's going to go after your nefesh. So now that's obviously the nefesh of the gazlan. So frakta gemara, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? V'dachnam yaksiv, nefesh ba'alav yikach. What does the one who holds that it's the nefesh of the gazlan do with the pasuk that says nefesh ba'alav yikach, that you have taken the nefesh of the ba'alim? My ba'alav, ba'alav the hashta, means the current owner, the one who has taken the property. V'dachnam yaksiv, v'kavas koveim nefesh. What do you do with the pasuk that says v'kavas koveim nefesh, which sounds very clearly that it's the nefesh of the gazlan, not the nigzal? Matam Kamar says, no, it's explanation of why God goes after you. Matam v'kaves koveim. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand up for them and take retribution? Mishum dekavi nefesh. Because you have taken away their nefesh. And when you've taken away the nefesh of the nigzal, you deserve it. That's all it's saying. Right, this is related, obviously, to the discussion of whether stealing is one of the Aharik Valyavars. That's what you had earlier, whether it's Yaharik Valyavar to take someone's money. Why would it be Yaharik Valyavar? So maybe it's Ki'ilu, you're killing the person. And when you take a person's money, it's Ki'ilu, you're killing the person, right? Then Ani is one of the people that's Chashuv Kameis. So you're taking away his nefesh, part of his nefesh, when you steal from him. Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol gozel skaveru shavu pruta ki lunotel nishmasu menu. And this leads directly into this line. Anyone who steals even a shavu pruta from his friend, it's as if he has taken his life. Shenemar kein orchos kol b'tzei betza es nefesh ba'alav yikach. Because the pasuk says nefesh ba'alav yikach. Va'omer, plus we have another pasuk. Va'achol k'tzircha v'lachmecha b'necha v'nosecha. Va'omer, we have another pasuk. Mechamas b'nei Yehuda asher shafchu dam naki ba'artzam. That chamas is the same as shvichus damim. Again, the idea that when you steal, you're killing. Va'omer, el sha'ul ve'el beis ha'damim al asher hemes es ha'givonim. From the fact that Shaul killed the givonim, we're going to see soon, it doesn't mean he really killed the Gavonim, he stole from them, he took money from them. Taking money from someone is the same as killing. So we have all these psukim that tell us that taking money is the same as killing. So ask Gemara, my Vyomer, why do I need all these psukim? Why not any one of them? So answers Gemara, v'chitei min nefesh tidei, av nefesh badav b'nosav lo. One might have argued that when you steal from someone, you have taken his nefesh, but you haven't taken the nefesh of his children. Tashma basar banav b'nosav. So that's why we have a second pasuk, basar banav b'nosav. V'chitei ma hani mili hechad lo yav dami, av lechad yav dami lo. I might think that's only if you didn't pay for it. But if you paid for it, even though the guy didn't want to sell, but you paid for it, I might think that that's not called taking his nefesh. Tashma mechamas bnei Yehuda sheshafchu dam naki ba'artzam. And chamas is when you pay for it, and you force him to sell when he's not interested in selling. And still, that's called that you're taking his life. V'chitei mani milech tukav biyadayim av gramalo. Maybe it's only when you're doing it directly, but if you do it al yidei grama, it's not a problem, or it's not not that it's not a problem, it's not considered that you're taking his nefesh. Tashma el shaul ve'el beis adam al shar hemes es ha'givonim. Look at the case of Shaul, where it's clearly ali de grama. What do you mean is ali de grama? V'chi heichan matzinu sharik shaul es ha'givonim. Where's that pasuk? This pasuk is well after Shaul dies. Right? This pasuk is talking about when there's a famine in the times of David, and he's trying to figure out, why is this happening to us? So he's told, the Gemara, you know, after asking the Urim V'Tumim, and after, well, this is finally after asking the Urim V'Tumim, first he starts assuming things. He starts doing cheshbonos as to what it could be, and it turns out it's none of the things he would have thought it is, and he's told it's because he asked the Urim V'Tumim, and he's told finally that it's because of Shaul killing the Givonim. There's only one problem. We have no record anywhere in Tanakh of Shaul ever killing Givonim. never says anywhere that Shaul killed Givonim, except for here, when there's a famine later on, and we're told it's because Shaul killed the Givonim. But with all of Shaul's career, and the Navi does explain Shaul's brief career in great detail, never a word about Shaul killing the Givonim. So v'heichon masinu sharg Shaul the Givonim, where do we ever find that Shaul killed the Givonim? El mitoch sharg nov yirakvanim, shayim haspik lamayim umazon, malalav akasav kilu hargan. But rather, it's because Shaul killed Novir Kohanim, and the Givonim, we remember from the days of Yoshua, the Givonim were given the task of being the Shoah Ve'mayim and the Chot Ve'etzim. Who needs wood choppers and water carriers? The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan needed wood choppers and water carriers. So who did the Givonim work for? The Kohanim. Killed out the Kohanim, you made the Givonim unemployed. They're unemployed, they don't have any money. So Shaul, through Grumma, has taken away all their money. Through Grumma, by killing their bosses, has taken away their means of Parnassa. And therefore, that's considered like he killed the Givonim, even though it was only Alidei Grumma. Right? Those psukim about Shaul, is the Satmar Rebbe quotes in his Vayol Moshe. We read the Akdama to Vayol Moshe in our old Hakdama Shiurim. And he says, from there you see, why didn't David just ask the Urim V'Tumim right away? First he started assuming, is this Aver, is that Aver? Then finally he came to the Urim V'Tumim. He said, because the pshat is, whenever you have a pasuk that indicates to you what the Avera might be, you always have to assume that. You never go straight to the Urim V'Tumim and straight to things that are far-fetched or whatever that you don't. You always assume straight from the pasuk. So obviously the Satmar Rebbe goes on to say that if we have to ask why the Holocaust happened, it's not from the pasuk, it's because of Zionism, whatever. Okay, so he finds the Afna Pesukim. Okay, Avalochin min anashim. But you can buy from women certain things. So Tanar Rabban, the Mishnah said, the Brisa says, Lochem in Anashim Klei Tzemer B'Yudah V'Klei Pishon B'Galil. You're allowed to buy Klei Tzemer in Yehuda and Klei Pishon in Galil from Nashim. Avalo Yenus Shran Mustasos. But not wines, oils, or flowers. V'lomen Avadim Lomen Tinokos. You're not allowed to buy from Avadim or Tinokos. Abishol Omer, Mocheres Isha Barba V'Chamisha Dinar K'dei Lassus Kipa L'Rosha. A woman's allowed to sell for 4 or 5 dinar, small amount of money, to make a Kipa L'Rosha, to make something for her head, but nothing major. The kulan sha'amru lahatmin, because we assume obviously the problem is that the woman might be stealing from her husband. The kulan sha'amru lahatmin aser, but whenever anyone tells you you should hide it, so obviously that's aser. Gabay tztaka lochem man davar muat avlo davar meruba. You're allowed to buy a small amount of things from gabay tztaka, but not a larger thing. V'habadadin lochem man zeisim b'mida shemen b'mida avlo zeisim b'muat v'shemen b'muat. Right, you're allowed to buy certain amounts of oil and olives from the badadin, from the people who press olives, but not other amounts. From Shulam Liel Omer, Lochin Minashim Zesim, B'moid B'galil Ha'elyon, Shepam Adam Bo, Shulam Chal Pesach Beis, of Nosan Lishom Acheres. You're allowed to buy olives from women around the B'muat, it says, is the Girsa, from women in the Galil Ha'elyon, because sometimes people really do want to sell because they need the money, but they're embarrassed to sell themselves, so they'll send their wives out to sell. Ravina ikla lebe machuza, asu nashi de machuza, ramu kame, kavli vishiri. Ravina went to machuza, and women came out and started throwing their jewelry at him because they knew he was a big gabbai tzedakah. He was very well known for giving, for taking care of tzedakah funds. So they gave him a lot of money. They kept on giving their jewelry to him. Kavlu minayim, he said, thank you very much, and he took the jewelry from him, from them, from the women. Amale rabbi tosfel, the Ravina, vatani gabbai tzedakah, makamdin davr muat, avalod davr meruba. I thought gabbai tzedakah, is only allowed to take from the women, not to take from the gabbai tzedakah. I said, well, the gabbai tzedakah is only allowed to take from the women a davar muat, not a davar meruba. So how are you allowed to take the jewelry from the women? Isn't that a davar meruba? Amalei, no, hani l'bnei machuza, davar muat ninhu. You have to know the neighborhood. For the bnei machuza, this isn't a big deal. This is the five towns, whatever. This is something, this isn't a big deal for people like this. They happen to have a lot of money. It's like Rabbi Neuberger tells the story that when he, I always tell over when he was asked to Shaila about someone's dishes, that where they got as an heirloom from a non-frum grandparent or something, and they were declaring whether to become Bali Tshuva or not or something, and they wanted to know, can they make their dishes kosher, the china. So Rabbi Neuberger said, well, Rabbi Moshe writes that if it's a hefsin meruba, and you wait 12 months, it's not used, and you do agala gimel pamim, so there's makom to be makel when it's hefsin meruba. So he paskin based on that, it's hefsin meruba, and it's okay. And then another Rav called him and said, hefsin meruba, they have two Mercedes parked in their driveway. For you, it would have been a hefsin merubah. For them, it's not a hefsin merubah. He said afterwards, he asked Rav Lipschitz. Rav Lipschitz said it is called a hefsin merubah anyway, because it was a family heirloom or whatever. So it's a hefsin merubah anyway, because there are certain things that are priceless. But sometimes hefsin merubah is relative. You know, sometimes Rav Moshe would write in the tshuva that a dishwasher is a hefsin merubah. So depending on the person, for some people, a dishwasher is not such a hefsin merubah. $500 is not a hefsin merubah for some people. For other people, it is a hefsin merubah. You have to know who you're dealing with. Okay, anyway, says the, very important, the Maritz Chayes over here points out from the Tshuvas Nod Yehuda, he says, meaning we said you're not allowed to take a lot of money from a woman because she might be taken from her husband. So he says, David HaMelech took from Avigail. Avigail came and gave all of Naval's money. This is before David was married to Avigail, she was married to another man. She was married to Naval, whose name, Kishmo Kenhu. He was called Naval because he was a Menuvel, he was a horrible person. Right, and David was really going to kill Naval for what Naval had done, for being very ungracious toward David. And Avigail sort of got wind of it and came out and offered David significant amounts of money, and David accepted it. Says Maritz Chayes, she did this without asking her husband. It was obvious that her husband never approved of this. How is he allowed to take it? So he says, Nod Yehuda already asked this question. He says, David had done work for Naval. He had protected Naval's fields. So maybe this is something Naval had owed David. It wasn't Stam David taking money from Naval. It was money that Naval had owed David. Okay, or maybe she had this money from somewhere else and it wasn't really his money. Okay, different possible terutzim. Weiter. Mochel shakovis motzei areilu shelo. The threads off of the hem that the koves takes off of the garment, he's allowed to keep. Vasorik motzei areilu shel balabais. But that which the comer takes off of the garment, it's a more substantial amount of threads, that goes back to the balabais. Koves notel gimel chutin vein shelo. The koves can take off, if he takes off three strings, he can keep them. Yes, and we can areilu shel balabais. But if he takes off more than three strings, he's got to give it back to the balabais. But if it's black strings on a white garment, he can take as many as he wants because he's really making the garment much better by removing the black strings. If a tailor leaves enough string to sew with, or cuts off a piece that's 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, a piece of cloth, that's large enough, that it's significant enough that you got to give it back to the balabais. That which the carpenter cuts off with one of his cutting utensils, the little pieces of wood that are chopped off, he gets to keep. But that which he cuts off when it's slightly larger pieces that are being cut off with a different utensil, so that with a different type of saw, so that goes to the balabais. But if he's working, if he's not being paid for the job, he's a schir yom by the balabais, he's working in the balabais' house as a schir yom, then any byproduct of his work automatically goes to the balabais. Sawdust is going to go to the balabais. Any byproduct of his work will automatically go to the balabais. You can buy the mochin, the threads from the hem, from the koves, from the launderer, from the dry cleaner, because they belong to him. The koves is allowed to take the two upper strings, and that's his, that's fine. But the person, when he's making the beged, should not stitch the loops onto the sides of the beged with more than 3 stitches. It's the beged came with loops on the sides so that when they needed to beat the beged, they wouldn't have to pin into the beged itself to hold it onto a frame so they can beat it. They would have these loops so the loops could hold it onto the frame. Now, obviously, the more tightly the loops are connected to the beged, the more you can beat, the harder you can beat the beged. So that you're not allowed to beat the beged with, you're not allowed to make the loops with more than 3 stitches, because then you'd really be able to beat the beged very hard, and the guy who's doing the beating would get a lot more stuff off of the beged that he would end up keeping, which you're not allowed to do. So when you stitch on those loops to the beged, you stitch it on with only 3 stitches, not more. You shouldn't comb the beged along the vertical way, but rather along the horizontal way. And you should even it out on its length, but not on its width. And to even out the beged, even if it means cutting off up until a tefach of the beged, you're allowed to do that. Amar mar shnei chutin. So we said two chutin he's allowed to keep. Va'anan tan shalosh. But didn't we say in our Mishnah you're allowed to keep three chutin? Our Mishnah said so. Answers more no. Lo kasha. Habalimi habaktini. It depends what type of strings. If it's the stronger type of strings, so then you understand very well, it's going to be two chutin, right? Because less of the stronger type of strings are equal to more of the weaker type of strings. We just quoted in this braisa that you're not allowed to comb the beged vertically, only horizontally. But then we have a braisa that says the exact opposite. Lo kasha. Habaglima, habisarvala. It depends what type of clothing we're talking about. If it's a glima, which we assume is everyday clothing, so your everyday clothing doesn't have to look so distinguished. But if it's a sarvala, which is your, you know, your chasana suit, you know, the suit you wear on Shabbos or whatever, so then it's it has to look much more distinguished. So with such clothing, you would want to comb in a way that it doesn't ruin the clothing, that it's not going to, so even though it might take off a little more, but it's not going to ruin the clothing. It's not going to ruin the look of it. You're not allowed to put more than three stitches in the loops, we said. So how do you define a stitch? Is a stitch in and out, or is a stitch just in? What's called a stitch? So take it, not sure. You can even it lengthwise, but not widthwise. Then we have a braisa that says the opposite. Difference is, one is talking about a glima, which is your regular coat. The other is himyone, which is a belt. Now the coat, the whole length of the coat is visible. So you don't want to ruin the visual of the length of the coat. Whereas the himyone is the belt. Only the ends of the belt are visible in the front of the clothing, but the whole length of the belt is not visible, so it's not as much of a problem. Tanu Rabbanan. You're not allowed to take the mochin threads from the comer because it doesn't belong to him. But if it's in a place where the minig is that he gets to keep it, then you can buy it. Wherever you are, you can buy pillows stuffed with these threads. My time, why? Because once he's stuffed it into pillows, he's been kone with a shinoi. And once it's a shinoi, so you're allowed to buy it. Tan rabban, ein lochin migardi, lo irin v'lo nirin v'lo punkel. So you're not allowed to buy a whole bunch of different types of utensils from a weaver. Avalokhme, meaning utensils made of these threads that are likely from other people's clothing. Avalokhme and beged menumar. However, you're allowed to buy a spotted beged, arivishasi, horizontal and vertical, tavuva arig, spun and woven. Amri hasha tavishak le'arig mibayi. Well, if I'm allowed to buy a totally woven beged that has spots in it, of course I'm allowed to buy it, meaning spotted, meaning comes from a whole, it's clearly from a whole bunch of different cloths, which means it looks like he probably got it from a variety of customers who had come to him and he took a little bit here, a little bit there. But anyway, if I'm allowed to buy a fully woven beged, of course I'm allowed to buy a spun thread. The only way to get a woven beged is by taking a bunch of spun threads and turning it into a woven beged. When we talk about a woven beged over here, we're talking about a woven beged with unspun threads. Now, so it's a separate chiddush, tell me that even spun threads. You're not allowed to buy from the dyer, the little pieces of wool that whenever you go to the dyer with wool to dye for you, he'll cut off a corner of it to see how the color stays on it. So those corners, those osos, v'lo dugmos, nor the samples of dye, v'lo tulushim shel tzemer, and little cut off pieces of wood. Of wool. Avalochim and begets of wool. But you're allowed to buy a dyed beget. Tavui begadim, and you're allowed to buy spun begadim. So hasha tavoi shakel begadim ibai. If I'm allowed to buy spun threads, you need to tell me I'm allowed to buy begadim? Begadim has already gone through a much more major shinoi. So my begadim namti. Now, when we say begadim, it means felt, meaning where it's not spun. Tan rabbanan nosin oros la'abdan hakitzuin v'atlushin. If you give leather to a tanner, so the parts that they cut off of the leather v'atlushin and the part that are torn, the wool that's torn off of the hides in order that he can make the leather smooth, hare ilu shel balabais. That goes back to the balabais. Va'ola mishetef b'mayim hare ilu shelo. But that which comes out of the soaking, the wool that comes out when you soak it, that he gets to keep. Imayishachar. So the Mishnah said if it was a black, if he was taking black strings off a white beged, he's allowed to keep it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Katsra Shemei v'Katsra Shakalei. We call him the shortener because he shortens the begadim and takes things. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kolol Naminyan Techeles. But everything that's left on the corners of the beged, even though it may be cut off soon, counts in the cheshbon of how far the hole where you put the strings of tzitzis are supposed to be off of the corner of the beged. So how do you define the end of the beged? We count in those strings as part of the measurement of the beged so long as they're still there. But Yitzchak, my son, was makbid even on that, that he would first cut it off before he would measure. We said if he leaves enough string to be tofer, then it goes to the balabais. How much is enough string to be tofer? Amravasi melo machat chutz l'machat. A melo machat beyond the machat. So yibayilu, melo machat v'chutz l'machat k'melo machat. Does that mean the length of the needle plus another length of a needle? Odumu melo machat v'chutz l'machat mashu. Or maybe it means the length of a needle plus a little extra. That's what we call enough string to sew with. Tashema, so we have a raya. Detani, we have a raya. Achai, shashira, sechut, pachas, mekdei, litverbo, umatle, shep, chusum, mishal, shashalosh. If he leaves something that's less than what you can sew with, and or the size of a cut-off beggar that's less than shalosh, shashalosh, it's bows, bizman, shabalabais, makbid, alayin, arayel, shalabalabais. If the balabais is makbid, then it goes back to the balabais. Ain, balabais, makbid, alayin, arayel, shalom. If the balabais is not makbid, he gets to keep it. So yam b'shalom lo machat v'chutz lo machat kim lo machat. If it means double the length of a needle, so then I understand pachas mikan chazi l'sichsa. I understand why less than that is still roy for something, because at least you can do it when you're stitching the loops onto the side of the beged. You don't need the full machat size to come back around. Eli yam lo machat v'chutz lo machat mashuhu. But if you say that it's a lo machat plus a tiny drop, well, pachas mikan, if it's any less than that, lamai chazi, what's it roy for? Of course, it's nothing. It's bottle. Can't do anything. So we see that when we say a substantial amount of string, it means twice the size of a machat. Masha Charis, then we spoke about the carpenter with the big wood chips and small wood chips. So says in our minhi, we have a stira masha charis motzi b'matzad v'anifsak b'magira hareelu shel balabayis. That which he cuts off with the matzad and the magira, it goes to the balabayis. V'yotzi mitachas mekadech, mitachas rehitni v'anigra b'magira hareelu shelo. And the things that are cut off with these other instruments, he gets to keep. So Amarava ba'as, so the stira is in the first half, because our mission had said that which he takes off b'matzad harelu shalo, and over here it says that which he takes off b'matzad goes to the balabayis. So it says Gemara Amrava ba'asud d'tana didan ika tarti chatzini. In the place where our Tana was talking, there are two types of chopping tools: the rabasi kari lekashel, luzutrasi kari lematzad. The big one they call the kashel, the small one they call the matzad. Ba'asud d'tana bra chadu di ika v'kari lematzad. In the other Tana, they call it by a different name. There's only one cutting utensil, and they happen to call it a matzad, but it doesn't line up with what we call a matzad. So you can't ask a steamer from matzah to matzah, because they're talking about two different utensils. But if you're working by the balabais's house, then the balabais gets everything. The guys who chisel stones, there's no problem of stolen possessions. From the weeders of trees, the people who weed out the gefanim, from the people who weed out what's growing into the bushes, around the bushes, by the zraim, and the people who weed out by the vegetables, when the balabais is makbid that he wants the little piece of wood you're cutting out to help everything else grow, yesh ben mishum gezel, then there is a problem of gezel. In balabais makbid alein, harel shalov, the balabais isn't makbid, so fine, then you get to keep it. Rabbi Yehuda, kashus v'chazes ein ben mishum gezel. Haps and unripe straw is not a problem of gezel. Ba'asha dekapti yesh ben mishum gezel, but if it's in a place where people are makbid about these things, that the balabais wants it back, then it is a problem of gezel. Amar Ravino, umasa mechasya asra dekaptihu. And umasa mechasya, people are big kaptanim. They're very makbid on these things, and therefore it is a problem of gezel. Marsha just points out, we're always mesayim and mesachta b'davar tov. What in the world is the davar tov over here? He says, that's why baba kam, baba mitzia, baba basra is all one mesachta. And that's why it's not really a siyam of mesachta, but we're going to make a siyam anyway. Hajj nalacha goes basra, slikla mesachas, baba kam. Mazel tov, everybody.